This episode of Check the Locks is brought to you by our friends at Audible.
Audible is your one-stop shop for audio entertainment where you can always find the best of what you love or discover something new.
That's right. Audible offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre, from mysteries, thrillers, biographies, and of course, true crime.
And as an Audible member, you can choose one title a month from their catalog to keep forever, including the latest bestsellers and new releases.
Audible members also get access to thousands of podcasts from popular favorites, exclusive new series, and this very podcast you're listening to now.
Plus, the Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere. While traveling, working out, walking the dog, doing chores, Audible makes listening anywhere easy.
And best of all, Check the Locks listeners can try Audible for free for 30 days. So head over to audibletrial.com/checkthelocks or click the link in the show notes to start enjoying Audible today.
Warning, Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Check the Locks podcast. As always, I'm John Connor.
I'm Olivia Cornu.
Saying thank you for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying true crime case. Before we get started, as always, Olivia, it's wonderful to see you. How are you? How has your week been?
My week's been pretty good. I've had the last 2 days off, which has been great. Did a little horse race betting yesterday and my dad came to town. And then, you know, did some family time. Going to do some home improvement tasks. It's been a good weekend. How about you?
Oh, that's awesome to hear. It's been good. I've been trying to make this chicken comfortable. It is currently sleeping on our, like, we have patio furniture, and it's currently sleeping on the couch in the screened-in porch, just super comfortable sleeping on a pillow. So it was good. It's been a good weekend. We got a glow-in-the-dark Frisbee. It kind of lights up, so we've been playing Frisbee with Millie when it gets dark outside. And then, have you heard of or watched yet Quiet on Set? No. It's about like the Nickelodeon shows back in the day and like all the.
I feel like I saw that on something. Is that on Netflix or who? Netflix?
It's on Max. So it's a.
Okay. I feel like I saw it on an advertisement somewhere or something.
Yeah, it's an investigation discovery show, but it just dropped on Max. And if you want to have your childhood ruined, if you wanted like. Hear about all this terrible stuff about like all that and
salute shorts.
Yeah. All that stuff. Definitely go watch it. So if you haven't, it is really, really interesting and very heartbreaking, but I was just watching going, man, I love these shows when I was a kid. And
what was the ranch show called?
That was Dude's Ranch? Hey Dude.
Hey Dude.
Hey Dude.
Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Oh my God. I watched that.
I wanted to go on that show so bad.
Yeah. That show and Guts.
Oh yeah. I didn't want to be slimed as much. So like all the things, the slimy stuff didn't really get me. Guts was the one where they had to like stick your hand in the thing and like get stuff sometimes.
No, that was.
Or that was part of the slime show. What was that show?
That was part of the slime show. Guts was the one where it was like athletic. So like you'd have to like pull yourself across the river. You'd be in a little boat. And then at the end, there was the aggro crag. And you had to like whoever made it to the top. Yeah. I know the show that you're thinking of, and for some reason it's blank. They show it in the documentary, but there's one
that has a little train that goes by and they might get clues or something on the train. Then they get slimed. It's whatever the slime show is called, which we could go down this whole rabbit hole. I just need to watch the documentary, it sounds like.
It was Double Dare. That was the name of the show.
Okay.
Double Dare was the one where they'd have like the giant nose. You have to pick the boogers out.
Yeah.
Dig through the pool of oatmeal or whatever to find the flag.
Yeah. Yes. Sounds like I just need to go ahead and just watch this documentary.
Yeah, it is really interesting. And it's, you know, again, really sad because there was, you know, it's kids and inappropriate jokes. And I don't want to ruin it for anybody who hasn't watched it yet, but if you're in like your mid 30s to like, you know, early 40s, it's a great way to just get real depressed about your childhood. So I watched it, like binge watch it, and I was like, oh, this is so sad. But check it out if you want to, you know, feel the way that I did.
Oh, maybe I don't want to watch it.
Well, this week is your week, and I'm super excited because I glanced at your notes and it looks like you're doing the kind of case that like I love to do. So I'm really pumped to get into it and kind of break it down. What do you say? Should we just jump on into it?
Yeah, John, I think you'll really like this case. I kind of felt like it would be something you would have done to the point that I asked you to make sure that we didn't double dip. This week's case is a cold case that was actually solved in 2021, but just recently went to trial. So some of the listeners might already know a little bit about the case as it came to a close on March 15th, like just last week. So I saw it on social media, so I feel like some people might be aware, but it wasn't anything I had heard of before. Now, in 1980, Barbara Mae Tucker was a sophomore attending Mount Hood Community College. Mount Hood is located in Multnomah County, Oregon, in the city of Gresham. It's a city just east of Portland. Barbara Tucker was majoring in business. She was a vibrant 19-year-old who excelled in basketball and enjoyed arts and crafts. She was ambitious and hoped to one day own a craft supply store. Her close friends and family called her Barbie. Now, on the morning of January 16, 1980, students walking to their early morning classes were shocked when they found a partially clothed female body lying in the shrubs near a parking lot. Police would later identify the young woman as Barbara Mae Tucker. At the crime scene, investigators found Tucker's red gloves and her purse scattered in the snow. They were also able to tell that there had been a struggle. On the evening of January 15th, Tucker was walking to her night class. Multiple witnesses reported that they saw a young woman running on Northeast Kane Drive near a wooded area on the edge of campus. The witnesses claimed that she was waving her arms around like she was trying to get someone's attention, but sadly, no one would stop to help her. Now, one witness claimed that he saw a man emerge from the bushes and led her back towards campus. The autopsy report showed that Barbara Tucker had several head injuries. She had been sexually assaulted before her death. A DNA sample from her vaginal exam was collected. Gresham police continued to search for clues. Sadly, for more than four decades, Gresham police were unable to identify a suspect. This made the city feel very uneasy as their yearly homicide rate was about two per year. The case went cold, but was reassigned to several detectives over the years. In 2000, the Oregon State Police Crime Lab was able to finally create a DNA profile from the vaginal swabs collected during Barbara Tucker's autopsy. However, detectives were disappointed when there were no matches. This meant that whoever murdered Tucker in 1980 had not been in the system, even 20 years later in 2000. Now, on January 15, 2015, on the anniversary of Barbara Tucker's death, Detective Aaron Turnage was assigned to the case. Turnage knew that he had 35 years of detective notes and report to read through. This was the city of Gresham's oldest cold case. Now, fast forward to 2021, over 21 years after the DNA was first run in 2000. A genealogist with Parabon Nano Labs utilized their DNA technology that pointed detectives towards Robert Plimpton.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy. But being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care. And BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Gresham police were shocked to find that now 58-year-old Plimpton was living in the Troutdale area. This is a city just northeast of Gresham. Now, detectives put surveillance on the man. And while they started to investigate Plimpton, they looked into his past, finding that he had a criminal background. In 1985, Robert was convicted of second-degree kidnapping in Multnomah County. This was 5 years after Barbara Tucker was murdered in the same county. Plimpton served 30 months in jail. Between 1993 and 1997, Robert served two more six-month sentences for DUI and parole violations. He was accused of attempted sodomy and assault on a woman, but the case was dismissed as there was not enough evidence against him. And as detectives continued their surveillance of Robert Plimpton, one afternoon they struck gold. Plimpton had spit a piece of gum out while riding his bike. Police were able to collect the piece of gum and send it for DNA comparison. Gresham police were stunned when the Oregon State Police Crime Lab confirmed that the DNA from Tucker's autopsy and the DNA on the chewed piece of gum was a match. Now, on June 8, 2021, Robert Plimpton was arrested and charged with the January 16, 1980 murder of Barbara Mae Tucker. Coincidentally, he was arrested very close to where he had attacked, raped, and murdered Tucker. Robert Plimpton requested that his trial be in front of a judge rather than a jury, and it would begin on February 26, 2024. The trial would last for 3 weeks and conclude on March 15, 2024, just last week. This would be the first time the community of Gresham would hear the gruesome details of the 1980 murder. The case was prosecuted by DA Kirsten Snowden and DA Todd Jackson of Multnomah County. And finally, on March 15, 2024, Judge Amy Baggio found the now 60-year-old Robert Plimpton guilty of murder in the first degree and four counts of murder in the second degree. His sentencing is currently set for June 21, 2024. Gresham's current police chief, Travis Goldberg, said, "Barbara's murder was shocking, and the pain, grief, and loss were felt for generations. I hope the conviction of Mr. Plimpton can bring some closure and peace to her family and friends and to the Gresham community." So that's this week's episode, John, but I'm definitely going to report back after the sentencing happens on June 21st, or at least keep up and make sure that it doesn't get delayed. So what'd you think?
Man, these stories, I mean, it's terribly sad, right? Because you think of this girl who, you know, Barbara had big dreams and a big life ahead of her and was doing big things at college. You know what I mean? And her life was snatched away from her. And sometimes, because, you know, we've criticized law enforcement before in certain episodes when it seems like things aren't handled correctly, but when you see detectives work something for decades to be like, I'm going to, you know, this is, you know, 40 years later, like I'm going to find out who did this. And then to see that person actually be brought to justice all those years later, it's, I don't know, it's awesome. And I can't imagine like the relief that the family has and, you know, finally getting some closure after four decades of being like, who could have possibly done this to my kid? You know what I mean? So it's good on them and, you know, just so thankful that they continue to work so hard and really, you know, crack the case, you know?
Yeah, I read something where it was talking about how the crime rate was so low back then and that the crime, like homicide rate now is like 10 per year. So even now in 2024, there's not that many homicides happening. Like if you think about where I live, there's so many on a day-to-day basis and they have 10 a year.
Oh yeah. That's the same here in Nashville. I mean, you know, I guarantee Tennessee's homicide rate is probably pretty close to yours, maybe not as high because I know New Orleans can be a pretty like rough city in certain spots, but you know, we've got rough spots here too. So, you know, and then especially coming from Michigan, you know, having like Detroit and Flint and Saginaw and stuff like that. So that is, I mean, that's absurdly low, especially nowadays. Mm-hmm. It did kind of infuriate me that there were so many witnesses who saw that something could potentially be wrong and didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. Like we were driving, we went to brunch the other day, me and Kara and the kiddo, and we saw a lady sprawled out on like these old church stairs and she was in a bathrobe and like had sweatpants on and had like a plastic bag with her. And it looked like she was just passed out on this, you know, set of church steps. And so we called just like, hey, I don't know if she's like real messed up on drugs or like if she's just sleeping or something's happening, but like, please go check on her and make sure she's okay. you know? So it's like, I can't imagine seeing something like that and then just being like, meh, whatever. I'm sure it's fine. You know what I mean? I'm maybe it's from doing the podcast, but I always assume that like the worst is happening. So I'm like, 100%. Oh, let's find out what's going on.
Yeah. I've done that a time or two. I'm like, oh, they passed out. Are they sleeping? I don't really know. But our homeless population is so big that like sometimes it sounds bad, but I just kind of quit looking.
Well, and I don't necessarily even know if it's like you quit looking, but it's just it becomes so normal. You know what I mean?
Right. In the beginning, I think I was really on to it. Like, I hope they're breathing. Do I need to call 911? What do I do?
And I think part of it too is like here it sticks out a little bit more because we're in a more suburban area. I think if I lived in like downtown Nashville or, you know, spent a lot of time in downtown Detroit, you know, like you see unhoused people and, you know, it's just part of life, you know. And but when you know, when you're in a suburb or something, I think it just kind of sticks out a little bit more because like, oh, I don't see that as much. And we're just like, man, you know, people are on drugs everywhere. You know, just want to make sure that, you know, she's okay and at least breathing. You know, I don't have a problem laying on the steps, doing whatever you need to do, getting cover from whatever, shelter from whatever. I just want to make sure, you know,
you're not blue.
You got air in your lungs. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, if we're talking deadbolt tests, what are you thinking?
For me, I think I would put this one at a 7, and I'm going to put it at a 7 because as you were going through, I was kind of thinking of it from a father or parent perspective. Right. And just kind of thinking like my kid is off at school and they're doing great things and have friends and, you know, they're excelling in things like basketball. And you know what I mean? Like, again, you have this big life ahead of you. And then to have something like that snatched and then to not know for 40 years is, you know, I think terrifying. So for me, I put it at 7. But what about you? Where are you putting it?
Yeah, this one's going to be an 8 for me. And you're going to know why I'm putting it so high. Because this poor girl's just walking to her class, minding her own business, and the worst possible thing that could ever happen to her happened to her. And it's just a terrifying world for women, and I say that all the time, but it's just so unsettling that even back in the 80s, that you could just be walking to your college class thinking that it's safe, you're in this very safe community, and you get basically pulled into the bushes, raped and killed. Just trying to go to school, you know, it's just unsettling to me. So definitely an 8.
Yeah. And I mean, I think in the 80s too, it was almost like, I mean, cause you know, it took 40 years to solve this one. Right. So like what else could Plimpton had done that maybe we just don't know about, you know what I mean? Or he was never linked to, cause usually this isn't the type of crime that you start off with. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
you usually kind of progress and escalate into something like this. So,
and the only crimes we saw, sorry to cut you off. The only crimes we saw were back in 1985, which was 5 years after she was already murdered. So it's like you said, he didn't just start with this. Like you wouldn't do the worst and then get less of a attacker, you know?
Right. And, you know, when you think about it before, like, we've talked about it a lot, but like police didn't talk to each other back then. So, you know, what was he doing in other counties? What was he doing in other cities? Mm-hmm. You know, did they just never link him together? So it's a scary thought to think, you know, we talk about it all the time, but like monsters are real, you know, they're just not the way that we imagine them as kids. So to kind of think about what this person was doing that, you know, potentially we'll never know, you know, but I am really glad that he was brought to justice for like what he could be, you know?
Well, I will definitely report back after the sentencing so we can hope that he is sentenced with what I guess our own opinions would be of an appropriate sentencing. But he seems like a lifer to me. You took somebody's life. That's a lifer for me.
Yeah. And you like hit it for 40 years. That's another thing I don't understand about people like that. When I talk about people being a monster, like, I couldn't carry the guilt of something like that. But then I guess, you know, you would have to feel guilt, which, you know, I imagine a person like this probably doesn't, you know.
I guess, yeah. My guilt always gets to me.
I know, always. Go eat ice cream at like 11 o'clock at night and just feel so terrible about myself. I had ice cream last night, I'm sorry. Damn you, Andy's, for being open so late. Well, that is where we fall in the deadbolt test for this week's episode. Olivia's putting it in at an 8. I'm very close at a 7. But as always, We want to hear from you, the locksmiths, the listeners. Where does the murder of Barbara May Tucker fall on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram at CheckLocksPod. You can find us on Twitter, Check the Locks. And if you're not in our Facebook group, well, what in the g-golly heck are you doing? Come hang out with us. We would love to get to know you, get to spend some time with you. It's a real fun place to be. You should come hang out with us. Olivia, again, this story, super sad. However, there was a light at the tunnel. There was some justice being brought. And I think we should continue the positivity, the good news stuff. Do you have a 5-star review for us to read this week?
I do have a 5-star review, and this week's comes from Corey and Tolly's mom. They said, I heard about this podcast listening to another podcast. I like Check the Locks more than the podcast, and I think they're trying to say that they like Check the Locks more than the other podcast they were listening to, but I won't put any words into Corey and Tolly's mouth.
That's what it sounds like to me. I'm just saying. Okay. I'm going to take the credit, so thank you.
They said, I listen on my drive to work my 12-hour shift, not a nurse, and binge listen. Yes, I listen at 1.5 speed. Listen on the drive home. I go to sleep listening to Check the Locks. I'm now up to date on the December 2023 in the podcast and will be caught up soon. My dogs like that I go to sleep listening to the podcast. That way I go to sleep and not tossing and turning, irritating them. Signed, Corey and Tolly's dog mom. So thank you, Corey and Tolly's dog mom's review.
Yes, thank you so much, Corey and Tolly's mom. We really do appreciate it. You know, I have to say I edit this podcast, so I completely understand why you listen at 1.5 speed. Sometimes I'm like, John, why do you talk so slow? So definitely get it. But really, really appreciate you leaving that. And Olivia, I wanted to ask you this too, because there's sometimes we get like feedback where it's just kind of like, you know, we're not like a huge podcast. So it's kind of like, sometimes it's kind of interesting to be like, oh, people listen to our voices as they fall asleep. You know what I mean?
Rock-a-bye baby on the treetop. I would just not be happy if I had to listen to my voice going to bed.
No, but it's
just, for listening, everybody.
Yeah. And it's just awesome. You know, it's just really cool to like stop and think like, oh man, like people like listen to this, you know what I mean? And it really means a lot.
You have that animated, like just good podcast voice. Can you imagine all the time?
Can you imagine trying to fall asleep to this voice where you're like dozing off and all of a sudden it's like, welcome back to Jim Lowe's podcast.
As always.
Kara makes fun of me all the time. I'll be in the kitchen and all of a sudden I'll just hear, welcome back to Jim Lowe's podcast. Making fun of you. But Corey and Tully's mom, it really does mean so much. Thank you for like letting us be a part of your work day and your nighttime routine and helping your dogs get some sleep. And it really just does mean a lot that we get to be part of your life like that. So we would love to send you some stuff out. The temporary tattoos came too, so we can drop some of those in.
I saw Millie's temporary tattoo.
Oh, bro, she was tatted up. Little Post Malone. She was like throwing on there.
I sure thought she'd be a bicep or a cheek girl, but
she likes not. Having it. Right here.
She's forearm, so she can see it.
So she can see it. Because if it's on your bicep or whatever, you got to turn like chicken wing, you know? But no, she was really into it. And they stick on. They look really nice. So we'll have to drop some. But let us know where to send it. Again, Corey and Tully's dog mom, you can reach out to us. Instagram, Check the Locks Pod. Find us on Twitter at Check the Locks. If you're in our Facebook group, just send me a DM. Holler at us. Let us know where to get it out. We would love to send you some stuff. And Olivia, if somebody wants to have their awesome 5-star review read on the podcast, what is the best way to do that?
Well, it seems like now we have a lot of options, but the number one option for us is going to the Apple Podcast app, going to our show's homepage, scrolling all the way down where you see all 5 of those white and purple stars, and click them all, make them full and colorful, and then leave us a little bit of love and tell us what you think.
That's right. And Olivia says it best so that I don't have to. It's Apple Podcasts. Click the stars, type up some stuff. Let us know what you think. If you need a cheat code, there is a link in the description of the episode you're listening to right now. And listen, these reviews, they help us out so much, right? They get us into those other shows' recommendations. If you listen to, you know, Corey and Tully's review, they found us from another podcast. And that happens because y'all take the time to leave us those reviews and let us know what you think. So they really help us out. They get us in front of new listeners and help us to grow our community, which is exactly what we're trying to do. So again, hit up Apple Podcasts, leave those reviews. We would love to read them and hear from you. And if you like what we do here at Check the Locks, you want to help us keep the lights on, you can financially support the show by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/checkthelocks. Get signed up today. We got a lot of great, you know, little tiers there, exclusive benefits, t-shirts, coffee mugs, stickers, all sorts of stuff. Plus, you get the episodes ad-free. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate those pesky commercials, Patreon is the way to go. So again, you like what we do, you want to, you know, donate or throw us a couple bones, anything like that, head over to patreon.com/checkthelocks, get signed up today. And if you can't financially support the show, listen, we definitely understand. Just listening and sharing what we do with your friends and family, the people who are important to you, means just as much, if not more. So if that is you, you're coming, you're hanging out, you're listening, you're sending those links, you're telling people about this weird little podcast, just know that we appreciate it so much. Again, our goal is just to grow, to get in front of as many listeners as we can. And again, just to build the best community that we can. So if you are contributing to that, sending out those links, telling people to listen, just know we appreciate you more than we could ever tell you. That is all that we have for this week's case, but please make sure that you are subscribed to Check the Locks on your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. We will see you again next week with a brand new, truly terrifying true crime case. But until then, don't forget to
check the locks.
See you next week.
Bye.
Check the box. Make it box.